I don't want to look at the context in either one of these passages. I just want to deal with the thought this morning that they expressed to us. The first one is found here in chapter 1 of Galatians in verse 3 and verse 4. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Now, we've looked at that before, and what a wonderful passage that is. But I just had a thought from that, but I want to compare it with a passage in Luke chapter 18. This is where the apostles were being instructed of the Lord Jesus of leaving all things for Him and bearing His cross. And Peter made this statement, "Lord, we've left all things and followed You. What will You give us?" And this is the Lord's answer to him in Luke chapter 18 and verse 29 and 30. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present life, and in the world to come, life everlasting." The first passage I read unto you, the Apostle Paul spoke of this present world. And he called it an evil world, a present evil world. And our Lord Jesus in this second passage here talked about a world to come. There's a present world and there's a world to come. And you read the scriptures, you'll notice that is taught all through the scriptures. The world that we live in now, the present world, will soon pass away. And then there's that world that is to come, that will never pass away. And the Apostle Paul makes this clear that this present world is evil. It's an evil world. The principle of the world is evil. It's alienated from the life of God. The present evil world, isn't it a terrible place to live sometimes? It's full of sin. Sin above us, sin in us. It's full of sorrow. It's full of pain. It's full of tears. It's been called the Valley of Tears. Job said a man that's born of woman is a few days and he's full of troubles. And then he dies and he goes to that world that's to come. And if you and I only had hope in this present world, wouldn't we be most miserable? Paul said, "If in this life only I have hope in Christ, I am of all men most miserable." But thank God this morning, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has a good hope. An unfailing hope in this world to come. And it's a holy world. It's a durable world. It's a happy world. And it's an eternal world. The world that we live now, in now, is passing away. But there's a world that does not pass away. The things that we possess now, the things around us, the things that we see are passing away. But there are things that will not pass away. There are things that are temporal and there are things that are eternal. And if you and I only had hope in this present life, we would be miserable. But thank God for His grace in Jesus Christ that has given us hope in a world to come. And this hope supports the believer in the midst of his present conflicts and distresses and his uncertainties. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, we eagerly wait for it. If we hope in another world, we wait for that world. And this hope supports us in the midst of our conflicts and our troubles in this lifetime. And His written Word supports us while we wait. I wait for the Lord, David said, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. His Word our hope secures. David said, my soul fainted for thy salvation. Do you ever experience that? Your soul just faints within you, doesn't it? And yet He said, I hope in thy Word. Isn't it wonderful just to open up this Bible, this written Word, and go to it and see how secure your hope is? That there is indeed a life in another world where your Savior reigns, and that's the hope that you have, and His Word comforts you concerning that hope. The Bible says the wicked are driven away in their wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death. When the righteous dies, he leaves this world of trouble and he goes to a world where there's no trouble. Someone said the old mariners that were tossed by the storm and tempest, they hope to see the blue skies. They hope for their desired heaven. And the traveling man, worn by the pearls and toils of his journey, desired like Jacob to rest his head. He desired to come to his beloved home. Or the soldier that's harassed by the conflict of battle hopes to conquer his enemy and wear the crown. So the believer in the midst of his fight with flesh, with this world, and with Satan, hopes to conquer at last and finish his race and enter unto rest in his Father's house. That's the way the Apostle Paul said it. Listen how he said it. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. That's what this world is, isn't it? This world is a live battlefield that you and I are on. And it's a place to fight. We fight with the flesh. We fight with Satan and his cohorts. We fight with the world. We fight with those things that exalt themselves against Christ in our mind. It's a battlefield, a live battlefield. And Paul said, I've been on it. I have fought a good fight. And boy, the arrows fly sometimes, don't they? The fiery darts are close to us sometimes. We hear them coming by our head. It's a battle that the Lord has put you in. But the Apostle Paul said this, not only have I fought a good fight, but I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've kept the doctrine of faith, the truth revealed in the Scriptures. I have kept the grace of faith. I've continually looked and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what did he say? He said, henceforth, here's his hope. There is laid up for me, beyond this battlefield, beyond the storms and beyond the darkness, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day. And listen, not to me only, but to all of them who love His appearing. But in that world that's to come, you know something, brothers and sisters? The battle is over. There is nothing there but the crown. There is nothing there but to celebrate the victory. The darkness is past, and nothing will be there but light. The labors have been finished, and that will be nothing but rest in that place. I think this morning, if I had a title for this message, it would have to be, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. How beautiful heaven will be. And one of the things that will make it more beautiful is this dark world that we live in. The rest will be more glorious because of the labor of this present life. And this world that's to come is heaven itself. And you know something about heaven? It's indescribable. The Bible uses certain terms to describe heaven, and we have to look at those terms and say how wonderful heaven must be if it's described that way. For instance, everything in heaven must be pleasant to the senses. It must be pleasant to the eyes. It must be a place of bliss and delight. You say, Bruce, why do you say that? Because it's called the paradise of God. What is a paradise? That's heaven. Just think of the paradise, and that's heaven. It's a most welcoming place where love must reign because it's called the Father's house. The Father's house. Well, when I was gone and a teenager or young and I'd get out and get in trouble, and I always longed for Father's house. When the neighbors ran me off, I could go to Father's house. My Father loved me. Oh, heaven is the Father's house. Doesn't that suggest some things to our mind? Heaven is a place of richness and comfort, for it's a place of mansions. Mansions. When you think of a mansion, you think rich, you think comfortable, you think famous. Heaven is a place of mansion. And no matter who you are this morning and what poor sinner you may be, you can come to the Lord Jesus, lay hold upon this hope, knowing there's room in heaven for you. Because there are not only mansions there, there are many mansions there. It's filled with mansions. And I tell you, there's room in heaven for all of those who will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, there are much people in heaven. There are much people in heaven. One man accused us one time of saying we just believed that God was going to save a handful of people. And Brother Mahan said, depends on whose hand you're talking about. If you're talking about God's hand, that handful is a lot of people, isn't it? And therefore, John said, I saw much people in heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, there's many mansions there in heaven. Oh, what must heaven be like? Heaven is called a heavenly city. It's called a better country. It's called an everlasting kingdom. It's called an eternal inheritance and an unfading crown of glory. How can you describe such things as this? Who would not want to go to such a place as heaven? And every true believer has this hope in him. Every true believer has this hope in him in a world to come. You're in Christ this morning. You have a sure hope of this wonderful place. That's the most glorious thing that I know of. Heaven is not a dream. Heaven is not in our imaginations. Heaven is real. It's a world to come. And it's a wonderful place. Listen to this about heaven. I think this will be one of the most glorious things to a poor child of God who is burdened with a sense of his sins and his unworthiness. Heaven is a place of perfect purity. Can you imagine that? No, we can't. We've never experienced such a thing. Sin is everywhere, is it not? Sin is always present with us. It's in us. It causes us conflict and distress. It's around us. It causes tears in our eyes. It constantly vexes us and distresses our poor souls. But listen, in heaven, sin will never enter there to defile it. There is no sin in that place. Listen to this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. My goodness, there's no sin there. There's no defilement there. It's a holy city. It's a place where righteousness dwells. Oh, there's seldom a moment in this present evil world that we feel and see sin's effect. Almost every moment. Do you ever escape the sense and knowledge of it? In prayer, we go to prayer and there's sin. We come here to worship and we lift up our voice in praise and there's sin. Sin is mixed with everything we do, almost every moment. We can't escape the knowledge of sin. But brothers and sisters, it will end in this present life. Here is where sin reigns. Here's where sin molests. But there will be no sin there. Never one thought, never one sense will it enter our minds and our spirits to molest us. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. How wonderful heaven must be. And not only is heaven itself a holy and pure place, but those who are blessed to inherit that place, they are pure. They are faultless. They are said to be that, are they not? He shall present us faultless before the presence of His glory. Another place it said they shall be presented without spot or wrinkle. They are holy and without blemish. They are in the perfect likeness and the image of the Son of God Himself. How holy is the Son of God this morning? He has no sin. He's pure. And that's the way they'll be. And David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in your likeness, where sin and sense molest no more. I want to go there, don't you? I'm finished with sin, brothers and sisters. It's burdened me. It's burdened me all my life. It condemned me. It brought guilt to my conscience. And when the Lord washed me from my guilt and clothed my shame, now I'm in conflict with it ever since. But it'll end there. This present evil world, sin may reign, but not there. Nothing will enter that city that defiles it. Oh, what a holy and pure place heaven must be. That world is to come is also a place of perfect happiness. Think of that. Perfect happiness. And not only perfect happiness, but because it's perfect happiness, it's continual happiness. There's no happiness in this present world. There's no perfect happiness. And therefore, there's no continued happiness. We have blue skies, but there's always a cloud on the horizon, is there not? We have fair weather, but it often turns into a storm. Our joys are mixed with sorrows. Our laughter is mixed with mourning, and our gladness is mixed with sadness. Some of you are conflicted this morning, aren't you? My goodness, you weep over your own sins. You weep over the sins of others. Your heart is full of sorrow because of your family trials and what's going on in your family. You're a believer. You reap over the sins of the world. There's no happiness here, is there? Just for a moment. And then it's gone. But in that world that's to come, all that causes our unhappiness will be banished. And there will be perfect and continual happiness in that place. Sin will distress no more. Satan will tempt no more. Sickness and pain and dying will be annihilated. Death will never visit another body. They shall hunger and thirst, neither shall the sun light on them or any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne will feed them, and He shall lead them unto fountains of living water. And listen to this. God Himself shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And He's got a big handkerchief. And when He wipes your tears, He'll get them all. The tears of your heart, your sadness, your sorrow will be done away with. And you know something about heaven? There'll be no change. There'll be no change in heaven. When you enter that place, this eternal happiness, this perfect happiness begins, and eternity will forbid any change. You'll be forever happy. Heaven is a place of great honor. For heaven is a kingdom that will be given to the saints. I don't know anybody that has a kingdom, do you? I don't have a kingdom. You don't have a kingdom. If you have a kingdom, you've got some honor. You must be rich. You're somebody. You know something? Heaven is called a kingdom. And here's what the Lord Jesus said. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You the kingdom. You may be poor here. You may be despised in this world. But you'll be honored yonder. Because you'll be given a kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Oh, sometimes we fear because we're little. We see the big mega churches and here we are with a few people. But it goes deeper than that. Sometimes we see our little faith. Sometimes we see such little service that we do. So many things that hinder us and makes us look at ourselves and wonder if we got much grace. Little grace. Everything seemed to be so little, doesn't it? But no matter how little you seem to be, no matter how insignificant you are, if you have this hope, yonder you're going to be honored. Little flock. There were those saints of old, were told, who had trials of mockings, cruel mockings and scourgings. They were put in bonds and prison. The Bible says some of them were stoned, some of them were sawed asunder. They sawed them in two. And they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were afflicted and tormented and destitute. Can you believe the children of God in this world could reach that place? Can you believe the Lord's little flock would reach the place that the world so despised them that they ran them off into caves and dens of the earth? They did. But where are those people at this morning? This world didn't honor them. But God does. God has given them a kingdom. An everlasting kingdom. Great honor has been given to them. Oh, heaven. Heaven. In heaven, the saints will wear crowns. Ain't that amazing? They will wear crowns. There is laid up for me a crown. Poor saints in this present world may wear a crown of thorns like their master did. Oh, but in heaven they shall wear crowns of glory. Paul said it was an incorruptible crown. It will never tarnish. It will never be taken away. It will never be corrupted. It's an incorruptible crown. He said we'd wear crowns of righteousness. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A righteousness that was purchased by Jesus Christ Himself. A righteousness that's given to every believer to clothe the nakedness of His person. To justify Him before God. A perfect righteousness. A crown of righteousness, Paul said, that we would wear. That's why we're told in heaven that they wear white robes. Everybody's dressed just alike. They're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. White robes were given them. It's called the garment of salvation. And listen, this crown of righteousness has no spot about it. Even God's all-seeing eye can see no spot in this righteousness, because it's the righteousness of His Son that He established Himself and gives to us through faith in Him. A crown of righteousness. Another place it's called the crown of life. They're given a crown of life, which means they shall reign in life. They shall never die. In this life, we're appointed to death, but not in that life. They wear crowns of righteousness. And James said this, they shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. How sure is that crown? It's as sure as God's promise can make it. God has promised a crown to those who love Him. A crown of life. If you see a crown on somebody's head, that denotes reign. He's ruling. Kings wear crowns. And in heaven they shall wear crowns. And one more thing that the Bible says about crowns will be given them. They said to have crowns of gold. Isn't that amazing? Everybody there, the saints, wear crowns of gold. How they're advanced. How they are enriched there in heaven. Here in this life, they may be counted the offscoring of all things. But there, they're worth something. They have crowns of gold. Listen to this. Around about the throne, there were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and on their heads were crowns of gold. They were round about the throne, and all of them had crowns of gold on their heads. Isn't that wonderful? How beautiful, how wonderful heaven must be. But not only are they round about the throne, there's something more glorious than that. They're in the throne. They're in the throne. Listen to this passage. To him that overcometh, Jesus said, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. What in the world would that look like? You know, His throne is a sovereign throne. It reaches everywhere. He reigns over everything. Sovereign throne. Somebody said, Bruce, where'd you get that at? Come boldly to the throne of grace. For sin abounded, grace did much more abound. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. There's a throne. And it belongs to Jesus Christ, and it reigns over everything. We've been talking the last few days about a dear person, dear person that we lost. Some of you knew him, and some of the Pentecostals were saying that he wasn't going to die. And then when he finally died, they said basically God had nothing to do with it. Satan killed him. And I was reminded of one evening service. I heard John MacArthur was talking about, he'd finished the message and he was ready to leave. And one of the men in the church said, there are some Pentecostals back here wanting to talk to you. And he went back and talked to them what they wanted. And they said, we want to know if we can start coming here. We've been listening to you preach some and we want to know if we can leave the Pentecostal. He said, why would you leave the Pentecostal church and come here? And they gave him a reason why. They said, our pastor got up and announced that this young evangelist was preaching, and he brought him out front and said, this is a great man of God. This young man is going to do great things in the kingdom of God. And the young man fell down on the spot and died with a heart attack. Wow. And somebody said, what happened? Somebody had understanding enough to say, did God fail? And you know what the pastor said? Satan saw that God was really going to use him, so he killed him. And they said to MacArthur, we want to leave that place because we're tired of hearing of the sovereignty of Satan.
Yeah.
But you know, that's another realm. That's in Baptist realms too. They don't talk about the sovereignty of Satan. They talk about the sovereignty of their own wills. They make themselves sovereign. I heard a Baptist preacher say that the Lord is not sovereign, but man is sovereign. Brethren, there's one throne. It's a sovereign throne. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the God-man, sits upon that throne. And here's the amazing thing. All His saints someday are going to join Him in that throne. What that looks like, I have no idea. But that's what He said. I'll grant that you sit with me in my throne. And they'll reign forever with Him. Oh my goodness, not only is it a sovereign throne, but it's a lofty throne. It's above everything and above everybody. It's a holy throne because it's occupied by the God-man Himself. And yet there's room in that throne for saints. He'll make room for saints. Heaven is a place of a continual feast. Continual feast. You ladies are good cooks. Bless your hearts. But that won't compare to that feast in heaven. We'll get together next Sunday evening and have a feast. But it'll end. But heaven is a continual feast. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they which called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know something? Some of the best company is going to be there. Brother Donnie Bell was up last week and preached for us. And he said, you've got the sweetest congregation. I don't care where you find the Lord's people. They're good company. They're good society, are you? And boy, you talk about a society to be in company with. There will be a society in heaven that you'll love to keep company with. They'll come from the north and south and east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And they'll eat and feast with them. Abel will be there. Hannah, sweet Hannah, will be there. The thief on the cross will be there. All the apostles and prophets will be there, and I hope that you and I will be there to sit with them. What good company that will be. And there will never be any goodbyes said in that place. How beautiful, how heaven, how wonderful heaven must be. And lastly, think of this. Heaven is a place of perfect vision. Perfect vision. Here we see at best through a glass darkly. We read the Scriptures and pore over them and pray, Lord, give us understanding. Let me see. Open my eyes that I may see. We'll not pray that prayer there. There will be perfect vision. Oh, wouldn't you love to see Jesus Christ more clearly? Wouldn't you love to open up the Scriptures and there He is on every page. He just jumps out at you right into your heart. Wouldn't your heart burn within you if that happened? It'll happen yonder. It's a place of perfect vision. The Bible says they shall see His face. I shall see Him face to face, Fanny says. And sang the story, saved by grace. They shall see Him in His love. They shall see Him in His kindness and goodness and faithfulness and all His saving attributes. The things they were confused about in this world, they will see perfectly there. I've got questions about creation. Lord, how did you do this? What was this like? I'll know there. There's things about providence now that utterly confuses me. Lord, what are you doing? I can't understand what you're doing. I'll understand there. I'll see it perfectly. There are things about grace I wish I could see more clearly. I'll see it there. That's a place of perfect vision. Perfect vision. Boy, here are things separate us because we just can't see eye to eye on something. But we will there. We will there. I may come up to you and say, boy, I was wrong about that, Larry Becker. You're right, I was wrong. But aren't you glad you see it now? All that heaven is, in its undescribable glory, will be enjoyed by the saints. For how long? Eternity. Because our text says, in the world to come, everlasting life. It won't be enjoyed for 1,000 years or 10,000 years. It'll be enjoyed forever. In the world to come, everlasting, eternal life. And not just the quantity of it. It's going to be forever. Oh my goodness, but the quality of it. It's the life of Christ. A holy life. Life eternal. Oh, our Father in heaven, gracious, gracious Father, merciful, merciful God in heaven, our triune God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our hope, our help. We praise You this morning for what You've said about Your house. Oh, and what can we say about the hope You've given to Your saints? A good hope through grace. A hope of that holy and happy place. To be with You forever. Never to doubt again. Never to fear again. Oh, to look upon Your face and tell the story saved by grace. Oh, blessed Savior, without this hope our hearts would break this morning. We look around us and see all the confusion, all the uncertainties and sin. And we hope for that place where none of these things will molest us. And it's because of You that we hope. Oh, grant to me, poor me, and grant to these dear saints that you're today, oh, an access and an entrance into Your heaven where we'll be happy forever. We ask these things for Your glory. Amen. We're going to the Lord's table. If Brother Larry and David would come this morning.